Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney the Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, this has been a wonderful morning. We have gotten out, did some things, showing people what we're doing. We're giving out free water filters to everyone in the city of Benton Harbor. We do have enough for everybody. And early this morning, I went out and put a notice on the door because we're not only going to give them to you, we're going to install them also. A lot of times people don't want you in their home. I don't have a problem with that at all. But what I want to do, I want to make sure that every single person in the city of Benton Harbor have a water filter and know how to operate it. See, that's the most important thing. You got to know you cannot run hot water through this water filter. And you should not be drinking the water from the faucet. Even with a filter, I will say that. But I know that when I'm talking to my black brothers and sisters, I for a black man to tell them not to do it, they're going to do it anyway, you see, because they don't believe nothing that black folks say. See, black people don't know this, but my great, great, great grandfather was a white man. That's four generations was a white man. He raped my great, 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 great grandmother. And that's how the Pinkney Clan became. So when I tell you, you should not be drinking this water, you should not be drinking this water. They don't care about poisoning black folks. Black folks don't care about being poisoned. You know, they don't really care. Oh, this water, I've been drinking this water for the last 20 years. There's nothing wrong with me. And they're about as nutty as you can get. That's why so much is happening. See, but the water problem is not just here in the city of Benton Harbor. It is all across the country. You see, they put all kind of chemicals in this water, causing people to act a certain way in certain communities. You see, they don't care about you. The reason why they don't care about you, because you don't care about you. You see, so what we have to do, we have to change the way we're doing business for our children, you see. Now, I talk about this a lot because I believe in our children. I believe that if we don't stop the bleeding, it's going to tear us completely apart. And one of the things we have to do, we have to stop wanting to be accepted by white folks. All right, they got all the power now, but they don't live forever. See, they are going to have to die one day. And that's when they're going to know that what they have done has been wrong all along. Let me talk about the court system. You as a black person cannot go into that courthouse for any reason and get justice. See, I'm never going to see justice in my lifetime. That's a fact, you see. But what I want to do, I want to build a foundation for the children so they'll have something to stand for. Because right now, our children is out there doing just about everything. There's no foundation, you see. Everybody, when you become materialistic, you'll do anything. You see, and that's how these people do it. White folks, they know what they do. They exploit your weakness. My weakness are children. That's my weakness. Because I think what we're doing now to our children and what we're allowing to happen to our children is wrong. But that's me. You see, it don't make me right, but it's just the way I feel. And let's talk about this critical race theory. Let's examine how racial bias is fundamentally embedded in the fabric of America, white America, and has shaped policies and society behind it. That's why they don't want you to talk about it. You see, they don't want you to talk about these things. And when they don't want you to talk about it, they use all their tools inside their toolbox. Everything that they can do, they use it. They use it against black folks. And then they give it to other black people to use against black folks. That's a problem. The critical race theory is an intellectual movement. And it's the framework of legal analysis according to race. Is a culturally invented category used to oppress black people. And they use it to their ability to affect us. You see, I know it takes us 24 hours for us to feed our family. That's a true statement, you know. Sometimes it even takes longer. But we have to make sure we're doing all the things that we're supposed to do. Move yourself out the way. It's not about you. It's not about Reverend Payne. It's about our children. Move yourself out of the way. And let's build a foundation for our children. And stop all this stupid stuff we're doing. All this stupid stuff we're saying. See, stupidity is contagious. It destroys you. That's number one. It destroys you. Stupidity will destroy you. And then it attacks your children. And the reason it attacks your children is because you allow it to. You see? And then it attacks your children's children. See, we have to stop this stupidity. We have to do it. To do it whether we like it or not. That's what they want us to do. They want us to be acting all crazy, then tell the rest of the world that we're nothing but a bunch of animals and stuff like that. And that's why you see on TV, every time somebody gets shot and killed, here is if it was a black person, they show black people, you know. Thinking that black, you see, one thing the world don't know nothing about really black folks here. But everything that they show us in a derogatory way. And think about the law system. It's like bleach. It works perfectly for white folks. That's right. The system worked perfectly for white folks. It's like bleach. And it destroys color. That's where we're at today. That's where we're at today. You know, and we sit around here, we can't leave those who helped create this problem in charge of a solution. It don't work that way. It do not work that way. You know, and it's amazing how we are as black people. Black people are the only people playing by the rules created by white people who don't follow their own rules. They get all the jobs, all the good jobs, even them jobs that you see them on the highway, you know, to see a black person on the highway working, one maybe in 50, one. And we don't talk about it. You see, we don't talk about stuff like we don't talk about these jobs that's out here. You know, doctors. We don't talk about doctors no more. We don't have that many doctors anymore. Black folks used to go to school. It wasn't matter. Like I wanted to go to school to be a doctor. Well, at least my parents did. They wanted me to be a doctor. But let's say all these jobs that's out here, we are not in them. See, they're basically saying to us that you're not even qualified to do manual labor with the good pay. That's what I'm referring to, the good pay. You are not even qualified to do the manual labor jobs, working on the highway, pushing those three-wheelers, wheelbarrows. You're not even qualified to do that. This is what they're telling us, and we are accepting it. And we're allowing them to get away. They got us concentrating on other things that don't mean nothing, rather than things that mean something to build a future. Something that we could teach our children, carpentry, bricklaying, pipe fitting, electricians. These are the jobs that, because everybody is not college material, you see. But we must learn how to do things that's going to benefit us in the future. That's right. We must learn to do things that's going to benefit us in the future. And we got to deal with our black brothers and sisters. There are so many ways to turn someone to betray their community and their black brothers and sisters. It's, you know, and one of the things, like, let me say it again. There are so many ways to turn someone to betray their community, their black community, their black brothers and sisters. There are so many ways that you could do this. One is money. Money is number one with black folks. Black folks feel they have to have money. They have to have materialistic things, you see. And their ideology is that white is right. But if you're black, get back. That's how they think, you know. And that's why it messes with the mind. It's mixed with the community, compromising, you know. And the worst thing a person can, the worst thing an elected official or anyone can have is an ego. Ego is the best. It works best. That ego will make you do things you never done before, because you want people to look up to you, white people. You want them to look up to you. They're never going to do that. You know, they look at us as people that's been, that's violent. And we're not. White folks is more violent than black people. But you don't see it on the radio. You don't see it, I hear it on the radio. You don't hear it on TV. Their job is to deceive you. And we fall right into that trap. We fall right into that trap. It's unfortunate. When I think about all the things that need to be done, we got to take care of our children. That's the bottom line. We got a big election coming up. We're going to have the primary in August. We got to be ready for that, because this guy got white folks supporting him with money, big money, because they want him. They want him in there. Because they know that he's nothing but a Sambo that could be used, who has a big ego and materialistic. This guy, they call him Marcus Mahomes. He'll never get that name again for me. Because I respect the Muslims. But I have no respect for this guy. He's the lowest of the low. What he has done to this community is criminal. But they won't do it because he's one of them. He's one of them. This mayor, he is one of them. That's what he do. There's not a reason in this world that you should go out and vote for him. Not one single reason. First of all, he is the Sambo of the year. He won that 2 years in a row. And that's hard to do. He got over 10,000 votes for the Sambo of the year. Sambo of the Year. But we can call them other things. You know, is it the word snowball, like in Jangles? You know, the D is silent. In Jangles, you know, they called Samuel Jackson called, Jamie Foxx called Samuel Jackson a snowball. Yeah, I kind of like that. But what we have, you know, we've been robbed. We've been robbed of ourselves. We don't even know who we are. We're over 50 million strong. You'll never hear them say that. We're over 50 million strong. And we're killing each other every single day over nothing. And it's unfortunate. And the bad part, we accept it. We accept it because we think it's all right. Black people have been robbed of themselves. When white folks can't defeat you, they will always find a black person. From boot licking, butt kissing, butt dancing, sambo, a black person that they can try out like they do Mary Muhammad. They have him out. He be running around looking for a butt to kiss. He can't. Sometimes he can't find one. But he keep looking. He keep running. I remember when Upton they had this thing. They paid them to have a march. It was nothing. It was just a meeting of the people. They paid him. Fred Upton paid for people to come. So he can say that he's part of a situation of movement, knowing that he don't care nothing about black folks. Matter of fact, he got to come through Ben Howard to get to his house. He go all the way around and make sure he don't go through Ben Howard. But I'm glad he's gone. I'm glad he's not there. But we have to get ourselves ready to deal with the election, crucial. We're dealing with a monster. That Margaret Mom is a monster. You know, you keep letting it grow until it gets so big, it becomes like Rodan in that movie, Godzilla. You know, they didn't know how to kill it, you know, because it got so powerful that they couldn't figure out a way how to kill it, you see. And that's where we at today. We're at this situation today. Only because we have allowed it, you know. So that's really what it adds up to do. I'm going to say this, so let's get ourselves ready. Gwen Johnson is running for mayor against this guy. Let's make sure we vote her in. Those of you who are out there, it's crucial. She's a female, and we're going to have to put pressure on her too, because they always be your friend until they get elected. Once they get elected, that ego takes over. That money takes over. And then they start robbing black people of themselves, working with the white man against all of us. But I want to say, the mayor here, Marcus Muhammad, he must go. Tell your children, tell everybody. So when it's time to vote him out, we will vote him out, you see. And it's unfortunate that he flipped the script on us, you know. Matter of fact, I was a strong supporter of Marcus Muhammad. And like I said on yesterday, Minister Louis Farrakhan would come to my house. He wasn't invited, but I let him come one day. And that was the biggest mistake I made. And I'm human. I make mistakes. I'm not perfect. I'm good looking, but I'm not perfect. So you know how that works. But what we want to do, we want to make sure that we build a foundation for our children. And to build a foundation for our children, we must eliminate this guy, Marcus Muhammad. He got to go. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. So I'm going to bring in my first guest, and I'm going to let Annette talk today because I want to talk about the book. Today is Monday, McDonald's Monday. And McDonald's Monday means no McDonald's. Simple. No McDonald's. Get in that kitchen, cook your children some food. Do that. And on that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend, Annette. Annette, talk to me. Tell me where you at.
Well, again, I can never tell you enough how much I appreciate everything that you're doing in the struggle and for the struggle. I have been really, really impressed at how many people are really blowing the whistle. And yesterday, I did not inform every single person. This is so, so important. Please join Blow the Whistle on Facebook with Annette Walker. Blow the Whistle on that particular platform. You will be given instructions. You will be given instructions as to what numbers that we will be calling. When we're having every single person to call, it makes a huge impact. And that's what we are doing. These are whistleblower lawsuits that have already been won. But what is happening is they are not trying to let anyone know that they have been won. So they are pretending that, okay, well, we'll just keep on kicking the can down the road, and as long as anybody doesn't know, then we we don't have to give them what belonged to them. But, again, I am so proud that the whistleblower has transformed because of our lawsuits. They are so profound that, again, all of these banks are falling, everybody. And the reason why I tell people to please Google the Davis Brothers Lumber Company, Ansley, Louisiana. The reason for that is because you will have access to all of the information. When we are fighting and we know what we are fighting for, that gives us validation in the fight. So when you educate yourself about the wealth that these black people had, and one of the things that I'm really saying to the black churches, because that is the way that they really conducted their business, and that's why it was a separation of church and state. The blacks back in the 1700s and 1800s actually were so much more intelligent than the blacks are today because of the dumbing down and because of the indoctrination and, of course, all of the misinformation that has been presented to us. But the information that has been hidden from us has been now revealed. So that's why, again, every single day we're having more and more and more being exposed. So now on April 15th, that is going to mark the 120-year anniversary of the Davis Brothers TD. Again, I make that point because of the fact that a LTD, and that's why we want to teach people financial literacy. We want to teach you generational wealth. When you see on our page, we have 23,461,000 something companies. And what they've been doing with these banks, and that's why they are folding, because in 1913, the Davis brothers had stock or either owned, this was just banks. They had insurance companies, oil companies, timber companies, name it. They actually had all of this wealth. We're talking about 66,000 acres. So when I went to Louisiana in 2005, when I started this journey, at that time they had 350 oil wells, 69 natural gas wells. And that was just in the region of Louisiana, and it wasn't even including all of the oil wells that are around the world, because these banks who wrongfully stole our wealth, and again, 1913, that is that same year of the Federal Reserve that took over the wealth, and from like Black Wall Street, and these were black businesses and churches and even corporations. I mean, black people own airlines. Their own airport in Tulsa in 1921. So again, this was what was taken from us, never given back to us. And I have been trying very hard to get in touch with the HBCUs. Again, this was land patent grant schools. And this land is legacy land. And so, again, with the Davis brothers, where share our wealth, share our wealth. That is on YouTube with Huey P. Long. Now, Huey P. Long's sister, Charlotte Arabella Long, she actually married one of the Davis brothers. And the brother that she married was R.W. Davis, who actually signed the deed with my great-grandfather. And again, you're going to be seeing where these companies and corporations, along with the Trump organization. Now, one of the things that they're going after Trump about was the money that was paid to the porn star. Well, It wasn't about the money being paid to the porn star. It was where the money had come from, which, again, came from the Davis brothers, Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein Island. He had an island, a yacht, a helicopter, airplane, all of that belonged to Davis Brothers. And what they are doing when the 600 journalists went to 117 countries and revealed what is called the Pandora Papers, this is what we're asking every single person, please. It is imperative that you call your congressman, because this was a hearing December the 8th, 21. December the 8th, 2021. We're talking just over a year ago now, that they had a hearing in Congress. And if you go on YouTube, it says Congress examines nearly $32 trillion hidden Pandora Papers. And when you go into this hearing, you're going to hear a lady from the FAT Coalition called Erica Hanacek. And 53 minutes into that video, when she's speaking to Congresswoman Chu, she says to her family with the main interest in a lumber company, she said lumber company, she didn't say timber, that evaded trying to pay $200 million in taxes. Now, how much money do you have to pay $200 million in taxes? And the most that they were going after was $4 and $5 million. They said Davis Brothers owe $200 million, but I made sure I contacted them and let them know we weren't trying to evade paying anything. We have found what was stolen from us. And when I went to Las Vegas, the IRS office, and took that tax ID number, and they call the original tax ID number, they call that the native tax ID number. That's the original number that you are given when IRS has validated you as a company. And so now that number is still the same number that is operating and is showing that they got 23,461,000 companies. Not only that, I'm also going to send to you, Reverend Pinckney, I'm going to show you the growth of this company and how in just weeks, they are gaining anywhere from 10 to 15,000 companies because these banks are folding and all of those companies and loans and all of that are coming right back to Davis Brothers because we're the rightful owners. And that's why we are asking all of the preachers, because, again, this was not only, and I'm still doing a lot of the research myself, and that's why every single person, because even with Davis Brothers, they had 300 employees. Just to show you, before cell phones and before the internet and before, I mean, this was even before the automobile. They were so organized in 1896 when they got ready to build Grambling State University. I want you to know they had over 1,500 members. And so now, how in 1890-something you got 1,500 members, and here we are in 2023, and very seldom do you see any organization, and this was within their area. This wasn't nationwide. This was within their area. They had over 1,500 members. So please, everyone, Google, you know, the history of Grambling State University. They got in touch with George Washington Carver and Booker T. Washington at Tuskegee, and they actually sent to Grambling Charles P. Adams. And so even Grambling is saying Charles P. Adams is the president. No, he wasn't the founder. How can he find something when it was already built 1896? So, again, when we get ready to try to correct a lot of things because they are hiding a lot of this information, we even discovered what was called Camp Ruston. This is on our land, too. It was for prisoners of war, and at the peak, they had over 4,000 prisoners of war that had been captured, and they treated them so nice until they didn't even have to use guns. They actually became to be a part of the local, and a lot of the prisoners did not want to go back to their own homeland. So this is the spirit of the black people and what we've done.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. All right now. All right. Dr. Tan, talk to me.
Sir, hello, Reverend Pinckney. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney. What's so important is looking at these court cases. For instance, like the November 23rd, looking at the court case in Missouri, the state versus Anthony Fauci. Back in January 11th, you know, Anthony Fauci and Walensky had to testify, and Fauci in November 23rd is, you know, being quizzed about his role with the formation of the COVID and how he managed it, but then at the same time of how he became an increased multimillionaire off of the whole COVID situation. So when we're talking about looking at the court, looking at documents, here's a gentleman that was a gangster mafia of COVID during the time it got exposed that there were two separate treatments of COVID, a black treatment and a white treatment, and asked the people to be on partisan lines, the question becomes, any Democrat, why are you not going after Fauci after how many black grandmothers, black grandfathers, black uncles and aunts died from COVID when it was his job to work with the Department of Defense to make such a virus, but he couldn't make it in the United States, so he had to go overseas and make it. So that's revealed how his investment, or if it wasn't for vaccination, it wasn't for vaccination, because you had the Novavax vaccine, which is a natural vaccine of the dead coronavirus protein that you inject, and the body will make its own antibodies to it, which will produce memories for past, present, and future, which is superior to the messenger RNA. So if you really want to do vaccines, all vaccines should have been up for grabs for the people to use. But his position was, if they use the natural vaccine, nobody else is going to use the messenger RNA one that they invested this money in. You invested the money in because you also had stock in it. And so I've even told people to invest ahead of time in the vaccine so they can make money, and never thought that they were going to force it down people's throat. Never thought that they were going to lie and said that it was a perfect vaccine that didn't cause any side effects. So any doctor who speaks positive and don't say that vaccines have side effects, that doctor is a liar and a disgrace to medicine. And that doctor should be posted and not trusted. If anyone who says that no harm came from receiving the vaccine, those doctors should be posted, you know, social media, and not trusted, because they lied. We even know that doctors in Harvard lied and said that the hydroxychloroquine didn't work. They did a study, and it was found out to be a lie. So things were being lied to. Social media, where they were being gangster and restricting people, kicking people, locking people up on social media jail, found out that that was criminal and violation. And so we're looking favorably at this government that has never in history looked favorably towards us. The other thing that we need to also look at is this Indian chick whose dad was an aristocrat from Jamaica, has no African root, and they want to send her to Africa to disgrace us, to make us look bad as African-Americans or the dose of the descendants of enslaved Africans. I'm talking about that chick from India named Kamala Harris. Any black who tries to include her as being black is ignorant. She has never said that she has been black. And you don't have a historical record of her being black. You have a historical record of her Jamaican dad, Indian mom, coming to the States, civil rights movement breakout. They don't participate, run to Canada, stays in Canada. Then because she can immigrant back to the United States, she gets affirmative action, special aid at Howard University, a black college, because she's from India coming to America, so she gets a little scholarship to go to Howard. And then when she is asked, before she becomes the vice president, would she do anything for black people, and the answer was no. She said that out of her own mouth, no. So any black pastor is ignorant. He works for Satan. He works for Lucifer. Any person that tries to claim her as black is also Luciferian and is a Satanist. So she said that out of her own mouth. Then not only that, saying that she would do nothing for blacks, she hasn't claimed it for blacks. After 18 months in the White House, Kamala Harris did not mention anything about being black. Biden didn't mention anything about being black. And then when she was recently confronted about black issues, she was so ignorant that she was going to ask people where it is. She got a taste of some greens or some chicken. That's how she played black people. Now, black people are ignorant, but because we were taught and trained to be ignorant. So some of the most ignorant people on the face of the planet right now are going to be your African and your African-American. Why are we so stupid? Because it was designed to make us stupid. Why are we so stupid? Because you wiped out our elders with HIV in Africa So you have a young population that didn't even know slavery exists. Why are we so ignorant and stupid? Because what happened is that the human rights leaders, the grassroots leaders, were replaced by the fieldhouse Negroes. The fieldhouse Negroes were, one, not allowed to be in the house. They were in the field, and so the house Negro was the one they promoted, propagated, and created what was called notorious manumission. And so that's why most of your people that you call leaders today that are chosen by whites most often have an FBI background as being an FBI informant, like Gene Roberts, like William O'Neill, like Jesse Jackson, like Al Sharpton, like Ralph Abernathy, those individuals who set King up for the assassination. Those are the people who you are trying to get behind and support and don't want to look at their dirt. See, black people have been taught to try to give evil people, unjust people, people who do wrong a chance, but the black who's doing right, they want to crucify him. Mm-hmm. Case example, a guy named Reverend Edward Pickney in the city of Benin, announced in 2018 after a report from the DEQ, which is EGLE, which is the state government, said that the water was contaminated in 2017, 2018, and they met with the city officials and told them, and the city officials were now being fined because they did not warn the people that the water was contaminated. And then this Reverend Pickney in the city of Benin Harbor started passing out water and doing like Noah, telling them that the water was bad, like Noah was telling them that the flood was coming. And he was vilified and made a villain and evil, while the people who do wrong are lifted up in praise. That has been by design. That has been by teaching. They don't tell you that Harriet Tubman also helped to create a little mini hospital. They don't tell you that Harriet Tubman tried to help create a school to educate the free slaves. They don't want to tell you that. They only want to tell you the Underground Railroad, and that she could have took more black people if they would have realized that they were slaves. But no, Harriet Tubman did more than just the Underground Railroad. That's what you want to find out about more. They don't want to tell you about Dr. King his last 2 years. See, they only want to tell you about I Have a Dream, and I'm having a dream 5 years later before his assassination. You see, because the dream became a nightmare for King, because that's why they killed him. And the only reason they killed him is because we hated him and isolated him. The whites taught the black people of the United States of America to hate Dr. King, and now we have a guilt complex, and that's why we go all our way to honor his birthday. But we were the ones who isolated him, hated him, and that way they can kill him. So we hate, we isolate, and then that determines their fate. And that's when the whites came in and moved and killed them. Same thing they did with Malcolm X. And this is what they teach us to do. So the black leaders who are isolated are the ones we should listen to more so than the ones who are elevated. Because the ones who are elevated, you have to look and listen to what have they actually done. Something that you can actually touch, that they helped build this, that they helped create this, that they will fix that. So people, no, when you look at your President Obama, more brown-skinned black people were killed underneath him. Did Obama remove the Constitution saying that black people in America were three-fifths human? Did your Obama do that? Did your Obama remove the 13th Amendment that said if you are in prison that you now are considered a slave if you are black in the United States? Did he remove that? Did he remove, President Obama remove the 1857 Dred Scott, the Supreme Court decision that said that as a black, you are never to be a full citizen of the United States, and no white person has the right to respect anything of yours? Did he remove that or fix that? Y'all want to talk, that symbolism, what they do is what Dr. Claude Anderson tells you. They give you superficial symbolism, and now we have to become a people of substance. Our pyramids say that we are a people of substance. Our temples say we are a pyramid of substance. Our writings of math and chemistry and science and advocacy say that we are a people of substance. So Abel saying, show me the money, but you need to show me the substance. Show me what you've actually done as a politician. You had that guy fighting a person that should have been slammed down and beat, and he was struggling to beat Herschel Walker. Hard time beating Herschel Walker. The only time Herschel Walker had a problem when he started talking about werewolves and vampires. Otherwise, he could have won the race because black people were taught to be that ignorant. We are not ignorant people. We have just been taught and made to be ignorant. And so we have to uplift those who are the Malcolm X's. We have to uplift those who are the last 2 years of Martin Luther King. We have to uplift those who are the Marcus Garveys. This is who we have to lift. They are Sokota Sokora. We have to uplift those. People don't even know what Malcolm X wife Betty Shabazz, what she was talking. You see, we have to uplift those who are talking about freedom. That's what's not happening now in the politics. So us getting behind political leaders, we have to first hold them accountable. And what my goddaddy Frank Bell said, who used to work with reparations way down in Detroit, he says, all right, show me your record. Show me your footsteps. Show me your records in the sand. So any politician stepping forward black, you have to have them show what they actually have done to change the black plight. Dr. Claude Anderson showed that in 1960, we only had 103 black people in all of politics in the United States, 103 people, and you got a civil rights bill and a affirmative action bill. We got over 900, excuse my language, niggas, black people in politics now, and we ain't busted grape and did sugar, honey, iced tea, ain't did a damn thing. We have not changed the injustice, the criminal rate, the incarceration went sky high. They even started privatizing the prisons. The education system went into the toilet because Malcolm X, it's a fool who allows his enemy to teach his children. It's a fool who allows his enemy to teach his children. So our education system is in the toilet. Our people, in terms of generational wealth, our people are taught Section 8 vouchers. People are taught rental assistance. People are taught SNAP. People are taught food stamps. None of that is generational wealth or ownership. We're taught to be employers. We're taught to be employees and not employers in terms of owning stuff. So we have to call out our ignorance. We have to call out how we've been tricked, bamboozled, and been had. And we have to call out these black-skinned white leaders. We have to call out these black-skinned white leaders. We have to call out these black-skinned white leaders. When the project in Philadelphia was murdered, when the project in Philadelphia had a bomb dropped on them, when the project of women and children in the project had a bomb dropped on them by the white-only police department of Philadelphia, it was a house Negro black man who gave the order to drop the bomb on this black project, on this black community, because those blacks refused to allow the white police officers on their property. Just because they have black skin, they're not our kin. And most educated blacks in a position at universities, at corporations there, are more pro-white than they are pro-black. And remember, the jobs don't matter. Because when you have a job that's in a field called diversity and inclusion, which means divide out blacks and include everybody else, diversity inclusion means you divide out the black and include everybody else. In any program of diversity inclusion, you will see there's a decreased number in the African-American, the descendant of enslaved Africans, and the increase of Arab, Asians, and everybody else. That's a fact. That is a empirical, hardcore fact. That's a disguise. And the reason I'm on here talking now, I'm trying to educate, is because they want to change. They don't want to use those are the descendants of enslaved Africans, they want you fools to use the word marginalized. Oh, we just marginalized people. Remember, they created minority so that the word black would not be used. They created minority in 1968 so that the word black would be used so that the people who were black-skinned could not benefit from the civil rights. They created the word less than. That's what minority means, less than. So when you say you're a minority, you say I'm less than everybody else. When you use the word minority, you said that I am at the bottom, I am worthless, I am insignificant, I am a minority. So use the word, look the word up, look it correctly. They didn't want people to use the word, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. They didn't want that word. So they came up with the word minority, and then they added people to make sure that the black people would not benefit. They added people so that black people would not benefit. And Martin Luther King went up against white women who threw rocks at him, spit at him, cussed at him, and the white Texas, the white Mississippi, the white Alabama senator and congressman added white women as the number one minority on the Civil Rights Bill. The same pill, the same bill that had and the same women who wanted Martin Luther King killed, the same women who wanted Martin Luther King killed, the white women, were put on the bill. The same white women who used to kill slaves so much they would beat them to death because they may have sex with them and didn't want nobody to know, that caused them to write the Casual Killing Act, the Casual Killing Act, to protect white women who were killing the black men and women of slavery. That same white woman who was anti-human rights, civil rights, is the number one beneficiary of the Civil Rights Bill of 1968, and 51% of all the 51% is all that's required for a business to be a minority. So if you are a white man and you're married to a white woman and you let her be 51% owner, you now get all the minority contracts. And that's why 85% of minority contracts go to white businesses. White businesses dominate the minority business, but our people have been taught to be ignorant. Our people have been taught to be foolish, and are taught to be cowardly. And so 85% of all minority businesses are white businesses. All you need is a white woman. And then the American Indians weren't there helping in the civil rights human rights movement, but they were added to the civil rights bill to make sure you didn't benefit from the civil rights bill. The mainland Puerto Rican, the Mexican American, they didn't fight alongside you for the civil rights human rights bill. They weren't water hosed down. They were not beat down with billy clubs, but they also now benefit from it. So this is what we have to look at, because they want to bring the new term called marginalized people. And we have to make sure that no homosexuality is added to the human rights civil rights bill. We have to make sure that the definition of marginalized does not apply to us, because there's nothing marginal about getting your testes cut off. There's nothing marginal about getting your penis cut off. There's nothing marginal about being burned alive. There's nothing marginal about being hanged. We don't need to use the word lynching, because a lot of young people don't know what that means. We need to use the word hanged. There's nothing marginal about that. None of the other groups can talk about that. The Indians can't talk about American Indians or indigenous people, even though we were here before them. They can't talk about Mexican Americans, mainland Puerto Ricans, Pacific Islanders. None of them can talk about that. Arab or Asians, none of them can talk about that. You may be marginalized, but not us, because you, as a group of people, also discriminate against us, mistreat us. And we're talking about 2023. So we have to make sure we get our language right and we get the terminology correct. No, we are not marginalized. That's what they, because their guilt complex does not want them to be associated with us. That's why they try to, the systemic racism as a public health threat, why are we still not talking about that? Has that public health threat been resolved? I mean, we just now starting to tone down on COVID, but why is the systemic racism, why did that disappear? Because the whole United States was guilty of systemic racism against blacks. The whole systemic racism against blacks was overlooked They want to talk about people who getting what they doing in their bedroom, who's sticking who in the butt, who licking who in terms of vagina. They want to go there, and that has nothing and not a damn thing to do with the black human rights, civil rights movement, period. They cannot be put together. And it's ignorant, unintelligent, and stupid if any person of homosexual persuasion wants to add their agenda to the black agenda. Hell no. What you do in your bedroom, your business, that's your privacy. And if anybody who wants to add that, then that's a traitor to their race, because you are not killed for what you did in the bedroom. You're killed because of the color of your skin. You are not abused because of what you do in your bedroom, but by the color of your skin. You're not mistreated by what you do in the bedroom. You're mistreated by what you do by the color of your skin. You are not hanged because of what you did in the bedroom, but by the color of your skin. You was not burnt at the stake alive doing a picnic for whites because of what you did in the bedroom, but by the color of your skin. Your little girls were not bombed in the church because of what you did in your bedroom, but by the color of their skin. So we have to start now getting right, because we got too many devils and demons in the churches and the pulpits, and especially the politicians. Right now, there has not been a politician like Adam Clayton Powell. And so they have to show what they have done. No compromising, no. We've had over 75 million deaths that have occurred during the slavery period. We know that from the Desmond Dow anti-slavery. And they want to try to, hide the records now and misscrew the records and only deal with one part of certain states. We know from the records, cargo of the human cargo, there was 100 million human cargo that landed on the shores of North America. 100 million cargo that landed here that we call slaves. And we know that at the end of so-called slavery, that there were only 25 million of that cargo left in the United States. 75 million Africans, 75 million black men and women lost their lives during the slave trade. Come on, man, how stupid can you be? Leopold killed almost 14 million or greater than that in just a few years. And we're talking about several hundred years that you kept kidnapping and bringing Africans here. And, oh, we only brought 13 million. Please, don't play me that stupid. Don't play me that dumb. But that's what happens. So when an educated person says that, then you know they're an educated fool from an educated school, and them being a hoe for the white man is the rule. And so we have to make sure we start disowning these house Negroes that are hurting us and imprisoning us and misleading us and misguiding us down, like you've been clamping down and calling out the clowns.
Yes, yes, yes. And you know what amazed me? What do we do? How do we deal with this? Give me some insight on that.
See, the powerful tool is social media, putting up those against the race, like you've done the sellout, those portraits, and put pictures up. What have you done for the black race? Like, picture Kamala Harris and ask the question, what have you done for the African-American race? And put the question out. They can't attack you. They have to now put their evidence before it. Any politician, any black Detroit, Democratic National Congress, ask them, what have you done to change, hardcore change, the conditions of us in America? Ask them, when you on this job, what have you done at Lakeland, increased the number of black physicians at the hospital? What have you done? Show me the numbers. Since you've been there, what have been the numbers? Because you have somebody who's supposed to be a diversity inclusion, and hasn't done a damn thing. You bring in one black doctor, no, the black doctors have came and left. Have you changed? Have the complaints of racism by the black patients changed since you've been there? What have you done to make things better? What have you done in the city to increase the number of blacks who have ownership, of home ownership? What have you done to increase the number of black businesses in that community? What have you done to increase the black representation on your city boards, community boards that are in a voting position? What have you done in terms of your black chamber of Congress? What have you done to support them? What have you done to empower blacks to be able to run their own city or communities? What have you done where black ownership in an 80% black-owned city is represented like you see in white communities that are greater than 90% to 98% owned, or in Arab communities that are 70 to 80% owned, that were, if you go to a poll town, a Polish area, you got a Polish community center. If you go to a Chinese center, they have a Chinese center where they teach the kids to be Chinese, teach the Polish to be Polish. You go to Chaldea, they have a Chaldean center to teach them to be Chaldean. When you go in Bloomfield Hills, you got the Jewish community center to teach them to be Jewish.
Yeah,
what do you
absolutely have
in the black community? Nothing. You got white people coming in and setting up a Boys and Girls Club. Can you teach them about being black or being history? Nope, because you need white approval. But whites can have their own white European communities. They can be teaching you from Germany, Russia, whatever, how to be German, Russian, whatever, but they don't allow you to teach you to be you.
That's right. Amen. Amen. You said a good thing. You tell all these sinners and stuff like that. But look, let's get into this next week, because I got some thoughts, and I'm going to run them past you so we can give them a good lesson in history like you always do. I'm so proud to know a man who has this much history and also know how to articulate it, which is the most important thing. But on that note, Dr. Tynes, I got to let you go. We have ran out of time. Listen, let's talk soon.